Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 80 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, as always, joined by the man who always bets on black, Brian. Brian, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. It's a lovely, nice, chilly northeastern day here. We hit a high in New York of, I believe it was 27 degrees. Lows were in the teens when I woke up. It was the kind of morning that made your nutsack just crawl right back up in your body. It was, it's a beautiful thing. They're saying it's going to warm up tomorrow, get into the 30s.
Wow.
But it's glorious.
Well, I wish I could say I'm feeling the same effects, but I am across the country in a different time zone out here in beautiful Las Vegas, where the temperature hit a balmy 72 today, which I guess is a little chilly for this time of year, but still nice enough to be walking out outside with a light coat on. I think here it's going to be in the 70s for the remainder of my time here.
Now, the locals, are they wearing winter coats?
They are not. My Uber driver was actually in shorts still. He was like, I'm okay. Going to get through this this cold stretch we have here.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
What is an Uber driver like in Las Vegas?
I mean, I've had two so far. I mean, they're very, the first one was very, very chatty, very talkative. Second one didn't say a word. I can take either one. Both played a lot of classic rock. I don't know if they felt they were they, you know, checking my demographic or if they were just listening to it in general.
Okay. Have you utilized the feature on Uber where you can request a silent ride?
I have not done that yet.
I don't even know how I would go about doing it on the app.
I mean, I finally reached gold status with Uber, but I do not know how to,
gold.
Access that. Yeah. What, are you still a blue member of Uber?
I'm pretty sure I've got platinum.
Oh, well, you might be, because you utilize Uber a little bit more than I do.
Well, that's because I don't drive.
Being in the city.
I think it's a good point. Yeah. No, I am Uber Rewards. What? I've earned a reward. I get to choose it. Go fuck yourself. Yeah. All righty, baby. Uber really knowing how to take care of me. I am a platinum member.
Oh.
I have platinum level. And what that affords me, Ron, basically I'm paying the same price as I did at the gold level.
I believe the one nice perk I found is that apparently I can cancel an Uber ride as long as I rebook within 15 minutes.
Okay.
Don't know how that's a benefit exactly.
Well, the idea is the fact that if your driver is getting spastic and just driving around in circles, as happens in the city quite often, you can cancel and then just kind of hope you get somebody else when you rebook. However, I've had the fortunate occurrence of canceling an Uber ride because I'm just literally frustrated at this person unable to find me. And when I went to go book it again, got the same driver.
Nice. I will say both Uber drivers, much better than the taxi I took in from the airport last night, who I eventually had to help give directions to get to the hotel.
Understood.
So
understood.
Well,
I think in Vegas, the cab drivers, especially those working the airport, they really are familiar with the strip.
You would think, though, I'm right by the convention center, which you would think is right. Also a location they would end up having to go to often. But
I would imagine so. Now, that's right near the Hilton, correct?
I believe so.
Well, the last time I was in Vegas, I remember swinging by the Hilton to go see Barry Manilow.
Well, Barry Manilow is at the Westgate now, right across the street from my hotel.
He's moved up in this world.
Moving on up. All right, well, let's get things rolling here.
Since
I'm in Vegas,
let's get rolling.
What's better than to do in Vegas than to do some drinking?
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Prost.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
All right, Brian, I already saw you had a frosty mug there, so I assume you're enjoying a nice beer this evening. What is it you've brought to the table tonight?
I'm going to try and finish off that multi-pack of Sam Adams that I bought earlier this season. I've got the Sam Adams Cosmic Sour, not enjoying it very well right now, hoping that my next trip to my beer distributor will have a nice selection for me, and I can start drinking some slightly better. Though I'd like to also say that I could do better on this.
All right. I hope you step up your game next week. That's all I'm going
to
say.
I need to step up my game.
So I was somewhat limited to what was in the marketplace of my hotel here. They had a decent wine selection, very poor beer selection. It was what? It was Bud Light, Budweiser, and Angry Orchard Cider. Instead, I went with this canned drink from High Noon Sun Sips. This is a vodka and soda with pineapple juice. So let's see how this goes down here.
I can't. It seems like you're drinking a basic white girl drink.
It's very seltzerish. It reminds me a bit of the Truly we drank, or was it White Claw? We drank White Claw.
No, I think you had White Claw. I went Truly.
Okay.
We wanted and to.
This is pretty bad.
Mm. What I love is the fact that not only are you saying it's pretty bad, but you went right back and had another sip of it. Like,
listen,
you couldn't even wait.
It's alcohol in it, and I'm very dry. This desert air always dries me out, so it's important to stay hydrated.
All right. Well, it's important, you know. The last thing I want to have happen is for you to get dehydrated, confused, lose yourself in that city. Some terrible things can happen to you when you're in that city, and I don't want that to happen.
No, neither do I. You know what you do need to do, Brian? You need to point out racism.
My ear hair?
Oh, you need to point out racism wherever you see it.
Yes. Week in
racism.
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 So with no surprise to anyone out there, I'm sure, Heather Patton, again, clean sweep, picked up all the votes again this week against Josh Hoskins or John Hoskins. I forget what his name was, but it doesn't matter. Heather gets win number 4. She gets to be retired this week. She gets a number 1 seed for our Racism Madness tournament. So it's worked out quite well. We actually have 4 number 1 seeds already set. We're only a couple weeks away from the tournament. We will be having a bracketology special again, I'm assuming. We have to talk
to
the committee, see how they feel about that. But we will be rolling out the bracket very soon. Brian, any updates on sponsorships for this year's Racism Madness?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I've been in talks, as people do remember, the last year when we did our bracketology, it was we needed a sponsor. So we reached out to our very fine people at Treblinka, the Russian beer, and they sponsored us, which was a very nice work on their part. This year, I have been in negotiations with Obolon, O-B-O-L-O-N, which is a Ukrainian dark lager. I am happy to say that they have agreed to sign on in exchange for $400 million of military aid.
Ooh.
Which I've placed some calls with some family friends of mine who are involved in the New York real estate market. I'm going to see if I can make that happen.
All right. Maybe you might want to also reach out to the folks at High Noon Sun Sips that I'm drinking here, because based on the taste of their product, they could use some promotion.
Okay. Well, should they go back for some product development, or are they looking for marketing reports?
I mean, I think they would just want to unload however much of this crap they have. But regardless.
They are. They sent it to Vegas, and they said, we know some sucker who's going to drink this shit.
That's right. So we do have 2 new contenders this week for this week in racism. First, we're going to go to White Oak, Maryland, where a white man went on a racist tirade at a Popeyes restaurant. Surprisingly, not about the chicken sandwich. Apparently, this was due to an issue regarding fries, and he was caught by a few people. Audio inside the restaurant here.
You're right, nigga.
Oh. Bro, JoJo said he don't got it for you. He said he don't got it for you, bro.
Piece of motherfucking
shit?
That's right, walk away.
Fucking nigger ass motherfucker. Get the fuck out of my way.
So, Brian, what do you think would happen to an older white gentleman that uses the N-word in inside of a location where there are just more than a few persons of color in there? What do you think might be the end result?
I would predict that he would get the left-right-left combo from a minimum of three male people. I'm trying to get whether do I think the employees beat the crap out of them or other customers, and I'm going to go male customers beat the crap out of them.
All right, you'd be very good. I don't have a total as to how many male customers beat them up, but patrons were more than happy to provide them with a two-piece and a biscuit in the parking lot, leading to this awesome follow-up audio.
Say sorry. Say sorry right now.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to play that just one more time.
Say sorry. Say sorry right now.
I'm sorry.
So hopefully he is sorry. But regardless, he is a racist. He is our first contender for This Week in Racism. But he's got some stiff competition this week coming from Houston, Texas. A video went viral this week showing a white man using the N-word during a road rage confrontation with a black woman. And we have audio on that here.
I said, you were talking crazy, you stupid
fucking
nigger.
Okay.
Did you get it that time?
I did.
I said nigger.
Okay, cool.
He then attempted to cause a collision with the woman by speeding up and slamming on his brakes in front of her. The internet eventually identified him as Seth Broussard, who had been employed at a company called K2 Industrial. K2 Industrial has since tweeted out that Mr. Broussard has been relieved of his duties there since this video went viral and apologized for his behavior. So he is looking for work and apparently plenty of time to see how he will do in This Week in Racism voting. So as always, go to our Facebook page, go to the Twitter page, or just go to ronandbrianpodcast.com where there are links to all of our social media feeds there, and place your bet on This Week in Racism. We're going to definitely have a new champion. Is it going to be the Popeyes racist or Seth Broussard? You folks listening get to decide. Brian, you haven't had a tough pick because Heather Patton's been such a machine over the past four votes. This one seems a little bit more even, although the Popeyes guy did get beat up.
Say sorry! Say sorry right now!
I'm sorry!
It's going to be my favorite bit of audio for a while there. But who are you predicting comes out on top this week?
Road rage.
Really?
Road rage guy.
Okay.
Yeah, Scott Broussard. You hear a level of pride and happiness in his use of the N-word. Also, and maybe this is just, you know, the way I look at things, but if you're man enough to own up to your mistakes and you're willing to say, I'm sorry,
not only say
it,
but shout it.
Say sorry!
Yeah.
Say sorry right now!
I'm sorry!
I think that can, yeah, be, that can be a clip right there. I'm sorry!
I think he's learned the errors of his ways. Well, I think Mr. Broussard, I think he may need another week or two in the in voting for us to see where he's going.
All right. I always enjoy your insightful commentary on racism. So, folks, you've heard Brian's thoughts. You've heard the audio. Go to Facebook and Twitter and place your votes. Now, let's hear what's bothering us this week.
Ron and Brian. Beef of the week.
Brian, what's grinding your gears this week, my friend?
All right. Last week, I told a story that was personal. It was a personal story about myself.
It was very touching.
Speaking of touching, it was a wet touch, but it was a story about me urinating inside my pants while I was walking the streets. I pissed myself. What is bothering me is the number of people over the past week that reached out to me in private messages on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, people just feeling the need to share their story about how they piss themselves or shit themselves. I mean, Scott K reached out to me. He said that he shit himself during an interview at Wegmans and wanted to tell the story of, he was just thanking me for being brave. And I was like, I'm not brave. I just, Kristen K, apparently, she pissed herself while interviewing to adopt a dog at a shelter. I think it's great that my story touched a chord with her, but I'm not really sure that it needed. Also, Mark R. reached out. He said that he urinated in his pants while participating recently in a fraternity hazing event.
Ooh.
It was just, I tell a story. It's because I need to say something about myself. I don't need to hear everyone else's stories about how they peed themselves and shit themselves. You can just say, hey, thank you for sharing. It meant a lot to me. And end it right there.
You didn't feel any sort of camaraderie with some of these listeners?
No.
I mean, I even shared with you last week that I too pissed my pants once in my adult life.
Yeah, but I was masturbating when you were telling me that story. So my reaction to that was way different. When I go to check my DMs on Twitter, it's a safe space for me. I mean, it's a lot of accounts that I don't follow asking me if I want to, check out some nudes and a crazy link. There's some multi-level marketing attempts that people trying to entice me in. I don't. It's a place where I go to avoid some of the darker parts of the internet. These stories have just gotten too far.
I understand. I apologize, but I always want our listeners to feel that they can reach out to us. Again, ronandbrianpodcast.com. Just use the contact us page, and you can give us your thoughts on any of our beefs or anything else on the show. My beef this week, again, similar to last week, travel-related, since I am traveling again this week. I got a beef with the airlines and these loading groups, boarding groups for when you get on a plane. Because I remember they used to fill the plane from the rear of the plane forward. Like, they always let the first class on first, and then, people needing assistance and yada, yada, yada. But now they've just made it so that if people want to pay for an upgrade or just even pay to get on first, and it just ends up being madness. Like, we had a full plane coming out here to come to Vegas, and we literally took off 20 minutes late just for the fact that people could not get on the plane, because by the time we get to the last group, which I was in, fair enough, my super economy ticket, you just sat, stood in the whatever that thing is that goes up to the plane. I know there's a word for it that I can't think of it. But
the plank?
The plank. Let's call it the plank.
You were walking the plank?
Walking the plank, and it just took forever because, the people that had boarded in, groups 1 through 8 are standing in there trying to lunge or stick their yep. carry-ons in the overhead compartment. And there was a comedian one time that said, his experience with flying is that people tend to take like a deep freezer and duct tape a handle on it and try and use that as a carry-on. And that's so fucking true these days. And I get it, because people want to get around the baggage fee. But there gets to be a point where, if you've got something that doesn't fit in an overhead compartment, like, just fucking check it. But they're going to stand there clocking people in the head with their bags and holding up traffic trying to get into the plane. It just bothers me. That's all I'm going to say. Bothers me.
But don't you also believe that there's some responsibility on the part of the airline personnel? If I remember, I haven't flown in probably about a year or so, but what I remember was specifically there is a little area where it's, if your bag doesn't fit in this box, you need to check it. It will not fit in the overhead. I don't see, the times that I have flown in the past, maybe 5 years or so, I do not see the airline staff enforcing that rule.
Oh yeah, no, they don't give a shit.
Bags are getting bigger and bigger in what people are considering something that they're going to carry on. If I had it my way, and I'm not trying to steal your thunder, I think we need to start developing airlines that don't have overhead bins. If you can't sit with it on your lap or it fits underneath the chair in front of you, you've got to check it.
You know what a great idea would be? And I just came up with this in my head. I agree with you. Get rid of the overhead bins. Maybe lift up the seats a bit. And then you can have a compartment under your feet that's almost like a footlocker. Like it opens up. You can actually store your carry-on beneath your floor under your feet.
Now, do you think that that would be used for human trafficking in any way?
I mean, it possibly could, but I think it's a great idea that I alone just came up with. So I may have to patent that and see how it works out.
If I remember, the people at Boeing they're really trying to think out of the box right now in terms of how to make the user experience on an airline better than having your flight basically disintegrate in midair, plummeting to your death. So you may want to reach out to the people at Boeing and see if they want to partner with this concept of yours.
They're very forward thinking. So let me just jot a note down here to reach out to them in the morning.
Their forward thinking is in the nose dips forward as the plane should be lifting.
You know what else?
That's good old. You know, but that's a legitimate complaint.
Yeah.
I mean, we have. I remember, you know, as a kid flying, and you know, if you brought on a book bag, you brought on a tote bag. You did not come on with a suitcase.
And you also used
that
to have all the space in the world. Like I remember, you know, 11, 12 years old, my dad flying us down to Florida, and it just seemed like, I mean, again, I was a smaller person then, but it just seemed like you had all the space in the world to just kind of spread out and enjoy yourself and enjoy the flight.
Well, I think what's happened is they have cut down on leg room to add more rows.
Oh, yeah.
They've cut down on the width of the seats to add more seats going horizontal. And in effect, it's just it's taken away some of that space.
And I know you had I had an aisle seat, and I know you had wished upon me a large person in the middle seat. So you'll be happy to know that some Brad Garrett-sized motherfucker was sitting in that middle seat. And what I loved about him the most is he knew that his arms were in my seat and the window seat, which right. He was traveling with the person in the window seat. And I wedged myself in there next to his arm. And he felt no need whatsoever to try and bring his arm back into his own space. So
oh, really?
For 5 hours, we just kind of flew shoulder to shoulder. So I've got a new best friend.
I love it.
Fuck you for wishing that on me, Brian, but it happens.
I love it. What airline did you fly, if I may ask?
I flew American Airlines.
Now, let me ask you, did you have to, I'm assuming, yes, you played extra for the aisle.
I paid, well, because I got the basic economy ticket, they were either just going to randomly assign me a seat, or I paid, I think, $32 to get further up in the plane and get on the aisle.
Right.
I could have paid $9 for a middle seat, but I was like, you know what, for a 5-hour flight, I need that aisle seat.
So what time was your flight out? It was mid-afternoon,
correct? I left at, it was about 4 o'clock we took off.
So here's my next question.
Okay.
What was the food options on American Airlines?
I mean,
I've not flown American in years.
You know, and again, I was used to, you know, normally they would serve you meals on a flight of that distance. Now apparently you can buy snacks like cheese and crackers and things like
right.
that. I didn't eat anything, which was a bad call. I should have gotten something in the airport to bring on with me.
That's another one. And here's it. We are now just basic comedians just complaining about the flying experience.
What about these airplanes?
Is people buying aromatically offensive food that they then bring onto the airplane and eat during the flight?
Oh, yeah. No lie. I forget when it was. It was a work flight I took a while back. Someone literally brought a tuna fish sandwich on the plane.
Oh, I mean, that literally, I mean, that's actually more aggressive than jamming your elbow into the person sitting next to you.
That just shows that you hate humanity and you don't care who knows it. I'm bringing my fucking tuna fish sandwich on this plane.
Oh, that's disgusting. Yeah, no, that's the real pisser, is the fact that because the airlines have cut back on the foods they serve, people are now taking it upon themselves to bring their own food, and the airport does not seem to be regulated in any way as to what they're willing to sell or not.
Yeah, no, they'll sell you, and especially in Philadelphia, they just redid the terminal I flew out of, and there's literally like 20 food options, some of which would be quite pungent.
I'm just visualizing pretzels and hoagies.
Hoagies with a lot of onions.
It's like maybe a hoagie
some water ice.
Water ice. Oh, I love it. I love it. Ron, so let's talk. You are in Vegas.
Yes.
Are you willing to discuss why you're in Vegas?
I am here for the Expedia annual conference. I am here representing my hotel company.
Now, what is the Expedia annual conference?
So basically, well, I assume you're familiar with Expedia.
I have used them in the past. Right. They have my credit card information.
So they have a multitude of companies under their umbrella now. Egencia, which is their corporate travel arm. They purchased Hotwire a few years back. They have some other partners that they work with. So this is really kind of an educational conference. So for hotels that work with Expedia, you can learn more about the different tools, marketing devices they have, you know, see how you can get more business, build that partnership, all that good stuff. I mean, it's a short conference. Now, it's only 2 days, today and tomorrow, and then I fly back Friday morning.
Okay, now these may be stupid questions.
No, and please,
if they are, just please entertain me. Now, so this is basically, hey, these are the different services that we provide, and we want you to fly out, and you can basically steer business our way. Is that what they're looking to gain from this?
Well, they do a significant amount of business. So it's more a case of, you know, how can the hotels that I represent get more of the Expedia business versus that business going to our competitor hotels?
Ah, interesting, interesting. So what's the agenda like for a two-day Expedia conference?
I mean, today we had some networking in the morning. We had a two-hour general session with a variety of speakers, some from Expedia, some more of note that we'll discuss in a bit. Then we have a little lunch and networking session, and then we had some different industry breakouts in the afternoon. And then tomorrow we've got some meetings on diversity and inclusion, because that's a big thing Expedia's gotten into. And then, you know, more breakouts about the different companies that you can work with through Expedia. And then another general session at the end of the day with some speakers, which I haven't looked to see who the speakers are. I should see if there's anybody exciting, see if I want to stay for that.
Well, you should. I mean, ultimately, tomorrow, the real question is whether you will be attending the closing party at the Dry Beach Club and Nightclub in the Cromwell Hotel. I mean, that goes from 8 p.m. until 3 a.m.
I mean, the way I look at it, I've got a 6:30 a.m. flight, so I could really party till 3 a.m., go back to my hotel, catch a shower, and then go to Dre's Beach Club and Nightclub.
Well, you definitely are going to want to shower, and so this way you don't come home smelling like someone else's perfume.
No, you would definitely not want to do that.
So that would not go over well, but I mean, you've got Barry Diller with a fireside chat on global trends.
Not only that, Robin Roberts, co-host of Good Morning America, and then Billie Jean King on how to build your best self.
And so what I'm basically implying is that you're going to, if you do not shower when you come home from the closing party, you will smell like Billie Jean King's perfume.
Very possibly.
Because I heard when she goes on these business trips, she likes to pick a man out of the crowd and say, he's going to be my bitch for the next 24 hours.
That's very surprising to hear.
Why?
Because she's a lesbian.
Or did allegedly, you don't know that.
No, she's pretty much out. But I mean, you know, are you saying I'm man enough to turn her? Because I would take that as a compliment.
What I'm saying, Ron, is that there's activities that take place within the city limits of Las Vegas, Nevada, that are not necessarily regaled in locations unknown, undetermined, and unspoken.
So you would say it kind of stays here almost.
Yes, right. But you know what doesn't stay there? Chlamydia. So my advice to you is to wrap it up.
There you go. So you want to hear about the keynote speakers we had this morning?
If this involves diversity and inclusion, yes.
Well, I guess it does in some ways. But we had okay. We had two Colins speaking today. The first one was
Farrell?
Colin O'Grady, who apparently Ooh. Is some sort of adventurer. What did he do? He did what's called, I guess, the Explorer Grand Slam. He climbed the 9 highest mountains in the world. And did right. it in 139 days to set like 2 world records. And then okay. he became the first man ever to traverse the continent of Antarctica completely unaided. They just dropped him at one really? End. He had a sled with all of his provisions for the entire trip, and he walked from one side to the other.
I think I heard about that when he was doing it. It was just a couple years
ago. Years ago, yes.
Yeah, I think I remember reading some articles about it. That's ballsy.
Yeah. Apparently, as he was telling it, he walked the last 40 hours straight. Like, he was like, I just have to finish this. I'm running low on food. I'm running low on energy. And he just was like, I walked 10 hours, then I walked 15, then I just walked 40 hours straight. Oof. There was a guy from Britain who was attempting to do it at the same time, beat him by 2.5 days.
Oh, okay.
But the highlight of it was the main speaker, former Secretary of State, former head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Colin Powell, who was surprisingly humorous. He seems really? Like a very dry personality when you see him interviewed. Started right. off with a joke. He was like, you know, I'm kind of surprised I have this big a crowd here. I figured you'd all be upstairs watching the impeachment hearings right now, which got a laugh, you know. But just some very interesting conversations. You can definitely tell that he has a deep love for the country and for the service that he's done for the country. One thing I did not realize is that he is the child of immigrants. Both of his okay. parents were born in Jamaica, immigrated to the United States. One of his parents went through Ellis Island. One of his parents went through the Port of Philadelphia. So, you know, part of his talk was, you know, discussing the importance of immigration and how, you know, the current administration is really doing a disservice to our country by keeping immigrants out. One of the things he also pointed out was, you know, the number of Chinese youth that are attending universities in this country. I think he said mm-hmm. the number's around 600,000. That number is dropping significantly because, you know, the Trump administration is making harder for it to come. So what apparently right. is now happening is countries like Canada and Australia are actually actively increasing the size of their universities, and they're going after, you know, these educational dollars that are coming out of China to attract those students, since we don't seem to want them here. So that was okay. a big thing. One thing he talked about is, you know, he loves New York City. He still has an office in New York, and he likes to go. He likes the New York City street hot dogs, which who doesn't? With some it's mustard and red onion relish or whatever it is.
Right.
And he mentions how the last time he was in New York, you know, he got a hot dog and he went to pay the guy, and the guy was like, you know, Mr. Powell, I'm not going to take your money. He's like, because this country has already paid me back. He's like, I have this cart. I, you know, can send my kids to school. He's like, this is a great country. And he asked all of us to not lose that hope in our country despite what is going on in politics right now. He also gave a big push for public education.
Do you believe that the hot dog story is in any way true?
I don't believe it at all, but it made for nice theater. But he did mention, and I didn't realize this also, he was a product of the New York public school system growing up in the South Bronx, and went to the City College of New York, which there actually is a portion of that school named for him right now.
All right. Any mention of 9/11?
He did not mention 9/11. Of yellow cake uranium. He dropped some George Bush 43 stories, some Reagan stories.
Did he talk in any way about World Trade Center 7?
He did not. He did not talk about jet fuel melting steel beams. Did not have any idea where the DNC server was with Hillary's emails. He did say Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself. So we were a little shocked by that. He just kind of said it because he was testing on his microphone, and I don't think he realized right. It was on. But he was like, check 1, 2, Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself. We were like, wow, but we got it. We gave him a little round of applause for that.
Kudos to him for taking a bold stance on that matter.
Yes, but I was pleasantly surprised with his speech.
All righty.
Again, you can almost forget the people he killed, with how charming he is.
Well, if it weren't for him, we don't believe that the United Nations would have gotten behind the war effort in Iraq.
No, very possibly not. But and he was, he's very disappointed with our lack of cooperation with the UN now, with our exiting the Iran deal. He's definitely very critical of the current administration. And from a diplomacy standpoint, he thinks our biggest challenge right now is that you do not have people in positions, that are doing the job they're supposed to do, which is advising the president. Instead, you're getting people that are just parroting the president. And he said, said the Constitution says we the people, not me the president. And we all need to remember that as we move forward. But he still feels confident in the future of our country. So hopefully he's got a reason to be.
Well, I think the biggest thing, the way I see it is just, it's a matter of limiting the damage that's going to be done under Trump. Do we have 5 years to deal with it? Do we have one more year of him? The pendulum swings, goes both ways, much like Billie Jean King, and it's not always going to be. Under the same kind of guise that we have our current administration. But at the same time, I agree with his assessment in the sense that I feel you've got a president who is on his own making across the board decisions, not accepting the feedback of differing opinions, not accepting anything that does not fall within his worldview. And not to transition in any way, speaking of Billie Jean King, but it's just the fact of, we've got some problems in Washington.
Yep. Another thing that was interesting he mentioned is that we really don't have enemies anymore. He was talking about, defense and the Pentagon, how we don't really have enemies anymore. We just really have problems. Because since the dissolution of the Soviet Union, like he talked about North Korea, he's like, yeah, North Korea wants to be nuclear, but North Korea would never launch an attack in the United States because they would be completely destroyed the next day. The same thing with Iran. Right. Iran would never attack the United States. China makes too much money off the United States. Same thing with Russia. So it was very interesting to hear, the rhetoric that comes out of the current White House versus someone with clearly a much more level head hearing their assessment on the world stage right now.
And I think you're just choosing to go with the one that you are clearly close to.
Which one is that?
you believe you're siding with Colin Powell.
I mean, what he said sounded good to me. Sounded
okay.
You know.
So you just believe things that make you feel good.
That's all I do. I'm just a feel good kind of guy.
Ron, you bring critical thinking to this team. You know, I need you to be questioning everything.
All right, I will do my best. You know what can't be questioned, Brian? Our undefeated record in NFL locks of the week. Once again, my friend,
Ron, you killed. No. We're talking you because you showed some real balls this week. Ravens over the Bengals. I mean, everybody in Vegas was saying that the Bengals were going to not only cover this game, but win it all. You sat there, looked Vegas in the face, said, "Know what? I am going to lay these 10.5 points with Baltimore." And the Ravens win the whole game 49-13. I mean, it just an embarrassment. You probably didn't even have to check the score after the second quarter. Then, and this one was, you just walked into the bar, pulled down your zipper, slapped your balls right there on the bar, said, "Barkeep, line it up for me." You went, took the Falcons against Drew Brees' Saints.
People said it was Falcons a stretch.
Falcons were getting 13.5 points. You sat there and said, "Fuck that. I don't need them." Falcons win the whole game 26-9. Ron, another 2-0 week. How do you feel?
I mean, I feel elated. I feel awesome. As awesome as you much feel, you knew the Packers would bounce back from that poor showing in against the L.A. Chargers. You know, they were giving 5.5. They win by 7. And again, the Battle of New York, the Battle of Rookie Quarterbacks, Daniel Jones against Sam Darnold. You knew the Jets would step up on this day. Didn't matter that the Giants were favored by 2.5. You're like, you know what? The Jets are taking this, and they do by a touchdown. So, again, you know, congrats to you as well.
Thank you.
A successful week.
The thing for me was, especially with that Jets game, was the fact that, having spoken to a lot of the odds makers in Vegas, that home field advantage is worth about 3 points. And when I saw that the Giants were giving 2.5 points to the Jets, and the Jets play in MetLife Stadium, that is their home field. So, the Giants were the away team, so they weren't even going to recognize that stadium. It would just be hostile ground. So I knew that was the sign that said to me, "You're going to want these points because J-E-T-S, Jets."
Nice. So who do you like this upcoming week? Who are your locks for the upcoming weekend?
Well, unfortunately, I don't like the Jets this week.
No.
I don't think they're good enough to win 2 games in a row. So, therefore, we are going to take the Washington Redskins laying 1.5 at home over the Jets. That is my first lock of the week. Moving on over to the NFC, I don't like the Detroit Lions. Therefore, Cowboys only laying 4.5 on the road. We're taking Dallas.
All right. I like your...
Ron, what do you got?
I'm going to pick a Thursday night game. I mean, we've got the Steelers on the road at Cleveland. Somehow, and again, I guess it's home field advantage, Cleveland is favored by 3. I think the Steelers take this one outright, but again, I'll take the Steelers +3 on that one. Looking for a road team that I think is going to come up big in Indianapolis. We've got Jacksonville Jaguars. We've got Big Dick Nick Foles coming back from that injury at the beginning of the season. Indianapolis favored by 3. I like the Jags +3 in that game. So I'm taking the road dogs this week.
All right. Listen, I think the one thing that we've seen this year in the NFL is that home field advantage is not as strong as a lot of people think that it is. A lot of times you're going to see a lot of these road teams coming into a strange city and walking away with the crown over their heads. I think you got some good picks here.
All right, I think you do as well. So take your money, put it on. I'm gonna go to the sports book across the street and bet on these right after we're done here. Period. End of
Please
story.
Please do so. So, please do so.
You know what I keep hearing about this week, Brian?
I'm going to say that you keep hearing about Instagram hiding likes on U.S. accounts.
I do not, although apparently they are doing that. I hear about this Disney Plus service that apparently went live the other day.
This is, you're going to have to walk me through this because I am not familiar with what is Disney Plus.
So it is their new online streaming service. So similar to a Netflix, similar to a Hulu. You know, you can get a subscription to this and you basically get all of the Disney content, all of everything Disney owns, all of the Marvel movies. There is like all 30 seasons of The Simpsons. I mean, just a literal ass load of content that you get from this Disney Plus subscription. And everyone was talking about it. I was literally at the bar in Philadelphia getting loaded before my flight out here. And there was a guy with his tablet and he was talking to the bartender and he's like, look at this. Like, look at all this stuff. He's like, I can watch Iron Man 1, 2, 3. I can watch Black Panther. I can watch, you know, Beauty and the Beast. I can watch. And the guy's like, yeah, that's a lot of stuff. No, I can watch The Simpsons. I can watch. So everything that you can think of that's Disney related is now available on Disney Plus.
Now, the question is, when did you sign up for it?
I have not, as of yet, signed up for it, but now I'm hearing all of this hype, and I'm starting to wonder, should I sign up for it?
Ron, don't believe the hype.
I mean, you've got the Pixar, you've got the Star Wars universe, you've got National Geographic. I mean, it's just... and at $6.99 a month, I mean, you can also apparently get a package deal with Hulu and ESPN Plus. I mean, it's craziness.
What's the package deal?
I think it's like $11.99 to get all three.
You get Hulu, ESPN Plus, and Disney.
I believe so for that one low price.
It's actually not bad. Nah,
that's what I'm saying. So I'm like, maybe I'm missing out on something here.
I don't know. You know, because I'll tell you what my problem is right now.
What's that?
Is that I shared my Netflix password with my nieces.
Okay.
And I started off with the plan where you're allowed to watch it on one device. And then I found myself getting bumped off.
Okay.
So I upgraded to the plan where I can now watch Netflix on two different devices.
Wise choice.
And I still find myself now between the hours of 8 and 10 trying to log on. And I've got both slots already are filled.
Oh.
Which is not the first time I've had both slots filled.
I mean, I guess even more reason for you to get a Disney Plus subscription and not share the password. Brian, I know your love of High School Musical, and they've got that on here.
Oh,
Old Yeller,
just the original?
Brian. Old Yeller, you can watch. The Shaggy Dog. The original Parent Trap.
I would watch Old Yeller starting at the back and going backwards. Because I like movies where they start off with the dog getting shot.
I mean, look at this. Tron, One Magic Christmas, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Newsies, Honey, I Blew Up the Kids. Good Lord, there is a shit ton
now,
of content.
I saw a movie called Honey, I Blew the Kids.
different.
It was out in the,
completely different.
It was out on VHS for a very short period of time. You know, there were some accusations about the age of some of the actors that were in the movie, so they just took it off the shelves. It's a shame.
I understand. I know how much of a Star Wars fan you are, so there's all the Star Wars, there's the Lego Star Wars, there's the new series, The Mandalorian, which I'm not exactly...
What is The Mandalorian? I keep seeing ads about it.
No fucking clue what it is. Apparently it's a new Star Wars-based series that's now available on Disney+. But you can't go on social media. You can't walk down the street. You can't rub one out without someone talking about Disney Plus.
Damn it!
So we may have to look into this. Maybe we'll get a Ron and Brian podcast subscription. You and I can share a password.
Ooh.
We really need to start doing some of these business expenses that we can write off at the end of the year. So maybe Disney Plus can be one of those.
I'm willing to start. We're clearly using it for material for the podcast. you know, so we can review items. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, Disney Channel original movies like Johnny Tsunami and Rip Girls. I mean, come on.
Did you say Rip Girls?
Rip Girls.
Yeah, I think I saw that also. It was, I can't even come up with anything. I think, I don't remember what it was. It was very small, petite women being taken on by Shaquille O'Neal.
I don't know if that's the same. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yes, it was gymnasts who were clearly over the age of 18. Being taken down by Shaquille O'Neal.
I mean, just think, all 30 seasons of The Simpsons would be worth $7 a month. And you get everything else on top of that.
I disagree with you. I disagree with you. How many episodes of The Simpsons are you going to watch right now?
I mean, I'm not a member, so I'm not going to watch any.
Okay, if I signed you up and I sent you a password, how many episodes are you going to watch? 30 seasons?
Eventually, I might. You don't know me. You don't know my life.
I do. You go to bed at like 8:45 on average.
All right, quiet down over there.
There's no way you watch. It's too much content.
All right. Is there such a thing as too much content?
Not in today's day and age.
Exactly. All right.
But I would consider it. I would consider the Hulu ESPN Plus.
I would have to consider that as well. So we'll have to look into that.
All righty.
So last week.
That's not the.
Yes.
I was going to say, and I'm sure that there are things that we can come up with that are equally entertaining on Disney Plus as if we were watching it on Netflix, correct?
I would think so, yes.
So then maybe the people at Netflix need to throw us some endorsement money.
Apparently, Netflix is now partnering with Nickelodeon, so they're going to be doing some content based on some classic Nickelodeon shows and series and whatnot. So we'll have to see what comes out of that.
I have never watched anything on Nickelodeon.
No, but, you know, they're going to go after that demographic where, I mean, clearly Disney Plus appeals to families with kids. I think to try and combat that, teaming up with Nickelodeon makes sense for them.
All right. Well, it doesn't make sense for me.
All right. And then Amazon Prime, I don't know what they're doing. They're coming out with a good series every now and then. Do you watch Jack Ryan on Amazon Prime?
I watched the first season and enjoyed it quite a bit. Have not gotten around to season two.
Season two, very good. I would recommend that as well.
Okay.
It's a little over the top compared to season one, but it's still good.
Isn't it? It's got to be over the top, no?
Even more over the top than season one was.
Oh, boy. I'll watch it anyway. I mean, let's face it. When Krasinski's on the screen, you've got my attention.
Yeah, you get lost in his eyes. I understand. So last week we recorded on Election Day. It was a little early when we recorded to report on anything that went down. But I guess one of the most surprising things that came out of last Tuesday's elections is that Kentucky will now have a Democratic governor, which a lot of people were shocked at.
Shocked.
Which I'm not quite sure why. I mean, who was the current governor out there in Kentucky? It wasn't Bevins, was it?
No, it was Jimmy Bob Thornton.
No, it was. It was Matt Bevin was the incumbent GOP, second most unpopular politician in the state of Kentucky. Who do you think the number one most unpopular politician in Kentucky is?
Donald Trump.
Mitch McConnell. So Bevin was at a 29% approval rating. Mitch is hovering around a 17%. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens come 2020. But in the meantime, Democratic governor incumbent who I have no idea what the guy's name was. I forgot. Oh, Andy Beshear. That's who won. So he will take over.
Isn't he the racist of the week, Andy?
No, that is Seth Broussard.
Close.
And then in Virginia, Democrats took over control of both houses of the state Congress for the first time in, I think, 29 years. So now you have Democrats holding the governor, lieutenant governor, the House, and the Senate. So that was a big thing. But again, Virginia's kind of lean blue in a lot of different elections. But a couple of things that people looked at apparently in the suburbs of Cincinnati, which was a stronghold for Donald Trump in the 2016 election. Apparently a lot of voters defecting to Democrats in that area. And then in Pennsylvania, my home state, a lot of interesting changes. If you look at suburban Delaware County outside of Philadelphia, that had been controlled by Republicans since the Civil War. County's five-member council, which had been filled entirely by Republicans a few years ago, will now be occupied entirely by Democrats. In Chester County, also outside of Philadelphia, Democrats took control of the Board of Commissioners and pushed out the Republican district attorney for the first time. And then in Bucks County, where I used to live outside of Philadelphia, Democrats also took the majority of the Board of Commissioners seats there, which that's been in the hands of the Republicans for as long as I can remember. So very interesting to see those changes. And see, you know, how is that going to impact moving forward? What are your thoughts on the results we saw out of last week's election day?
Well, I was actually going to ask you a question because I want to know what your thoughts are.
Okay.
I mean, the clear clear assumption is that the populace is turning their back on the Republican Party in a clear rejection of Donald Trump. But do you think that it is a fair assessment to say that Republican committee members in some county outside of Cincinnati, that this is somehow linked to Trump?
Well, I think, you know, where this comes into play is, you know, a lot of people, when they look back on the 2016 election and they talk about how Trump ended up carrying the number of states that he did, a lot of people talk about these, quote, hidden Trump voters. And they look at these pockets, such as the suburbs of Philadelphia, the suburbs of Cincinnati. And this was where he was able to garner tremendous numbers of votes and win these states that helped swing right. The election in his favor. It helped give him Ohio, helped give him Pennsylvania. So I think people are looking and saying, you know, is this kind of a sign that maybe, you know, when 2020 comes along, he can't count on these hidden voters like he used to. And if you look at, you know, the last times Siena polls, you know, showing how he is in these states, if you look at him against Biden, he would lose Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Florida, and Arizona to Biden at this point. He would lose really? Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin to Bernie Sanders. He's even with Elizabeth Warren in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and would lose Arizona to her. So
I cannot see Republicans voting for Elizabeth Warren over Donald Trump.
Well, again, it's
no matter how much they don't like Elizabeth, no matter how much they feel that Donald Trump does not represent them. I think that they, you know, you're putting, the Democrats are talking about putting candidates that equally do not represent the masses.
But here's the thing, is it a case of needing Republicans to vote for a Democratic candidate? Or is it more a case of getting more Democratic voters out than happened in the last election and getting those independents to vote more Democrat than Republican?
I don't have an answer. I don't know enough about it. I have an opinion, and I think that that if you plan on winning, you have to go, you've got to win the middle.
You may. I mean, I think at the very least, you need to focus on Ohio. You need to focus on Florida. You need to focus on Wisconsin. And to an extent, you need to focus on Pennsylvania. Another poll that came out was from civics.com, and it was looking at the Electoral College as far as how states are now favoring impeachment. And you've got 28 states that they are polling in where the majority of the populace is now in favor of impeachment. And, right. You know, this list now includes a number of must-win states for Trump: Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, North Carolina, Georgia, and now new to this list, Florida. It's a huge amount. And if you add up the electoral votes in these states that are now favoring impeachment, you come up with 368 electoral votes. Clearly more than enough to win a presidential election. Now, again, I know the people that can that respond to these polls are a small portion of the voting populace, but it's very interesting to see how a lot of these things are adding up. And, you know, is Trump the kind of person to look at these things and try and run a different campaign than he did in 2016? Or is he going to try and do the same thing in 2020? And will it be as effective knowing that people don't feel the same way about him in 2020 that they did 4 years ago?
Which is why it drives me crazy that the Democrats are talking about jumping further and further to the left, because the further to the left they jump, I think you run the risk of alienating the what I call the moderate Republican, the person that's sitting there saying this Donald Trump is a loathsome character. He does not have a sense of ethics, a sense of moral values. This man doesn't reflect me. Yes, I think he should be impeached, but you put them into the ballot box where they're looking at a piece of paper that says Elizabeth Warren, who wants to give free three medical care to anybody on the planet and have the wealthy pay for it. I think that she is going to push those people to check the box next to Donald Trump.
Listen, I have often said that I have no doubt that the Democrats can screw this up in 2020.
I think it looks like to me like they're trying in every effort that they have possible to go down that path.
Well, we will find out. Again, we'll see how also these impeachment hearings move forward. I mean, again, it may end up being a moot point if impeachment is successful. I have to admit, I didn't really watch much of the impeachment hearings today. Anything? Did you catch anything?
Well, I was at work, Ron, so maybe, I was a little busy. Looking at the articles that were written and the descriptions that were made through various media sources, I think basically what we saw today was two career diplomats testifying what they overheard and what they experienced in regards to U.S.-Ukrainian negotiations. This was stuff that we had already learned. It was just the fact that it was leaked to the media what these people had said. Now we actually are watching the real live human beings testify in their own words.
All right. Well, we'll have more hearings throughout the week. I'm sure we will have more to discuss on next week's episode of the Ron and Brian podcast. In the meantime, it's about time for us to end this episode and move on to our Patreon content. Again, if you would like to become a Patreon subscriber, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. Go into the upper right corner. You'll see the link to become a Patreon subscriber. And as always, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com for all things Ron and Brian, our social media links to vote on This Week in Racism on Facebook and Twitter, and of course, all of our different podcast channels. You can find our content available at. And always rate, listen, review, subscribe, share us with your friends. Brian, do you have anything else to touch on this week?
Yeah, I'm just going to say we are definitely going to do a drink of the week poll next week.
All right. I like your gumption. I am
sitting here staring at multiple bottles of liquor and I'm not touching them.
You need to start drinking heavy liquor again.
So let's start picking some drinks. Even if they're drinks we've already had, maybe a vodka gimlet. I don't know. But let's start making some drinks again.
All right, so not only check the Facebook and Twitter for This Week in Racism, but check them out for the Drink of the Week poll.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, yeah. And for your Patreon subscribers, we're about ready to do your content. Stay street, everybody.